I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
We are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing. And, you know, it's a nice day over here in red. Oh. It's a good day.
It is a good day in red. You know,
it's a nice week.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm wearing my red.
Sure is. You look good over there in that chili pepper red, Danielle.
Yeah, I'm wearing my red. I mean, a 1-2 Ferrari finish. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. And
you won't.
Go back to last week. I didn't even put Ferrari on the podium. Because do we have chili pepper at the time of recording?
We didn't know.
And I never went to revisit once he was cleared. And you know what? That's on me, because that I would have put a Ferrari on the podium.
Had that happened.
Yeah. Had I known. But you know, things that we couldn't foresee in this race. Lap three. I don't think anybody saw lap three coming. I don't think anybody saw Max.
I feel like you kind of did. Didn't you say last week that you thought that there would be a Red Bull DNF?
Yes,
You just picked the wrong person.
Yeah. I also said that there would be a McLaren on the podium in third place, which I got right.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I was going to say your predictions were like, you know, it's kind of giving Nostradamus where you're like vaguely correct.
Correct.
You know, like it's not specific. But you were in the right.
I thought about this actually a lot this week. The universe has given me this gift, but they don't want me to hone in on it because I would be the asshole that would use my gift to bet and make money. And you're not supposed to use your gifts like that. So,
why not?
Because that's like,
why aren't you supposed to use your gifts for betting?
I don't think that's how it works.
I think it's how it works, actually.
Do you remember in Back to the Future 2 when Marty stole those? No, it was Biff.
It's Biff. Yeah.
Biff. He stole
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then look what happened to him.
Yeah, but Biff is bad. Like, why can't you just use your powers? Like, if you made a lot of money in gambling and then gave it, you know, shared your profits.
Well, like Robin Hood did?
Maybe. Just like where you know, share. Or like if you're like one of those guys on X or Twitter that puts out their, you know, their picks. Like, you could share your, like, Nostradamus. There's plenty of guys that do that for free. Shout out Dan's AI.
Yeah.
Sorry, as a girl who likes to gamble. My light attacked me.
Tried to attack you all morning. I'm like, that thing is coming at you.
It's loose. I'm just saying, use your powers for good.
Well, my powers have not led me in the right direction for monetary purposes, so I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, I understand. I just say you were, you know, very, you're the signs and like there. Feelings you were getting were coming from the right place.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just didn't see Max blowing his brakes and then having to leave the race so soon in the Australian GP.
Before
and I don't think
we hardly knew him, you know, we hardly knew you, Max.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good start, but even at the beginning, I was like, something doesn't look right with this car.
No, it didn't seem.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Can you believe that we're living in a world where we're not talking about who came in second as the biggest highlight?
Yeah. And, you know, not that far down the race, we get Lewis having a DNF with the shit bag of a Mercedes.
That, like, car sucks.
That car is terrible.
That car sucks.
And
Lewis knows that car sucks.
Yes. Lewis is like, listen, I told y'all, and now, you know what? I'm out. I've done my time here. I've tried to let y'all know. You refuse to listen. Godspeed.
Lewis is giving Charles last year energy, where he's just like, I have lost the will to care.
The love and feeling.
Yeah. And I actually just finished that episode of Drive to Survive. I'm really like moseying my way through it. Mm-hmm. And you know, you could kind of see the writing on the wall in those interviews.
You definitely
the light, could. He was giving the right answers, but the light was not behind the eyes.
Mm-mm. It's a very manufactured look.
Yeah. He was like, I love Mercedes. It was like reading the script. So bless him.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chili Pepper comes back. We didn't know if it was coming back when we recorded last week. from the appendix and just says zoom zoom.
I still cannot get my head around appendix surgery.
God, that had to
hurt. 2 weeks later. I mean, he had to have help doing an assisted sit-up. Like
a sit-up. I mean, the like patch covering his scar is like was huge.
Now, I got my gallbladder out a couple years ago, and like that surgery was really intense. And like I was like, I can't, it's a little guy. Like how bad can it hurt? That shit hurt. It's an organ. Sure. You lose an organ, like an original piece.
Well, they're cutting through.
Yes, it hurts.
You know, and like, you're making some deep cuts.
I couldn't do a lot of things in my recovery, let alone 2 weeks later getting in a Formula One car and zip zap zopping. And you know,
how sore do you think he was on Monday?
Had to have been.
I mean, unwell, sore. Yeah. Like lay in the bed all day.
Like that's when you
or have somebody come over and like do the massaging, but also like lay in the bed.
Lay all flat. Like don't move.
And honestly, like how is it? It's like if you're coming back for one, that's one thing. But now he's like thrown back into the into the season.
Right. I don't know. I mean, he's got a gift. Obviously, he's incredibly talented. We saw him maneuver this car. Max went away when Lewis had no chance. He was like, "And
bye,
we're out." Like, he was like, "What is that?
What just
happened? Why are there balloons?"
We're recording, and I just put up a peace sign, and some balloons just floated. Like I had just said, "Happy birthday" on an iPhone message.
That was bizarre. Okay. We're going to have to show that clip just so we don't sound like idiots of like, oh my gosh, this balloon just appeared out of nowhere on this podcast.
I know. I guess that the Riverside recording platform was just really excited for Carlos's big win too. I mean, he just said, see you later, suckers. And he just went off into the sunset.
Yeah.
50 laps into the sunset.
And Charles right behind him.
Let's talk about how Ferrari's strategy is markedly better this season.
I just would like to know, what did they do over the off season? Like who
they had to have gotten
hired,
rid of somebody.
Who got hired? This person is it. I don't know who's making the calls. Don't really care. But just they're
don't
better.
Do yeah.
And like this is the person that needs to keep going. Also,
give
them
a raise.
Give them a raise. I just want you to know, I put Carlos and Charles, my plants, in a different spot that allowed them to have more sun the beginning of last week.
And look at what happened.
The plants are thriving. They have not been thriving where they've been currently. And I just need you to know.
There's some weird voodoo going on with your plants.
Well, I would say yes.
Maybe
to
you
that.
Should move Lewis Hamilton somewhere because
Lewis and Hamilton are, you know, living their best life, you know, at my house, but not in the real world. And you know who else is thriving in their pot, but not on a grid?
Daniel Ricciardo. Yeah.
That he cannot live in my pot anymore. He is literally busting out. And I am unwell for him on the track.
Yeah, him on the track is not.
He's on the chopping block. Like helmet. Yeah. You know that they're letting the FP in FP1 in Japan. They're putting their reserve driver in.
Yeah. Get him some reps.
He should. Like, I know it's three seasons, it's three races in. I get it. It's still early. I understand. He says,
well, they do that from time to time. Like we talked about it last week when we were talking about Ollie Bierman, like when they put him in for like a practice session at one point. Like that they remember Gunter was like, I saw him in practice and he was so great or whatever.
Yeah. It just makes me curious because it just seems like Yuki is really vibing with this car. He has figured it out. Like he and the car had this synergy and he has really honed in on his driving style and how this car is going to
participate. Yeah, much better weekend for Yuki weekend.
So it is disheartening that Daniel has not figured it out. But I'm like, I don't really love what I'm seeing back there in the RB Cash App. What is it? RB Cash App?
I don't know. I refuse to even learn because it's so convoluted. It's the Cash Cap. We're going to call it the Cash Cap. How about, you know, we've been really hoping for Haas, and Haas is kind of kicking it.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of doing it.
They're looking good. I mean, like, competitive. They are, and good.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk about it too much because it feels like we could jinx it.
Correct.
But like, is Haas okay?
I'm just
like, and I say that like not as a Haas okay question mark. I mean, like, is Haas okay? Like, they're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was best that they split ways with Gunther.
Was Gunther the problem?
Was he the problem? I mean, Gunther's out there living his best life with a microphone in his hand. Just,
I know. Oh, being speaking of celebrity. Can we talk about his interview with Charles Leclerc and how Charles could not understand
not a word,
single thing he was saying?
Charles is like, where are the subtitles? Huh? What's happening?
He kept looking at him and leaning in and like having to, I mean, it was making me giggle that he could not understand a single word Gunther was saying. It was the highlight of my race weekend, just watching Charles look at him so confused, and you could see the wheels spinning in his head because he doesn't want to embarrass Gunther and like have to ask him to repeat himself. But he also is like, I can't give an answer to something he's hearing like gobbledygook in his head. He can't. It was a big giggle.
Yes.
He just could be like, please. Like,
and then he's like, I don't know what I just said out there.
And he's like,
know.
Repeat yourself and say it clearly. Yeah. I can't understand you. Yeah. I honestly wanted to be like, Gunther, speak in French to him and ask the question.
Or
and
even
he'll reply in English. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he'll reply in English so that people can understand, but he has no idea what you're saying.
That did get a little uncomfy. I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. And you could tell Charles didn't want to ask again.
No.
Like, he felt uncomfy asking to repeat himself. Oh, it was so good. I can't do any more of these middle of the night races because I feel like I'm behind. And then I had to watch. I was at a cheer competition this week, so I didn't really get to like fully immerse myself in the race race weekend. I felt a little disconnected from Australia.
I did too, because I didn't get to watch it until like 4:30 p.m. the next day. And like I stayed off my phone. Like, people were blowing me up. And I'm like, if this has anything to do with the race, I haven't watched yet. So leave me alone. Like,
yeah, unsubscribe.
It is so hard to not like get any type of updates. And no matter what feed I'm in, it's like F1 is trying to find me at all times. And I'm like,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
Get away.
It got spoiled for me. I was watching the race, but then my kids turned the TV on in our hotel room and it was on the bottom line of the ticker. Oh. I was like watching the beginning of the race and was like, oh, okay. Well,
dang it. Yeah.
Well, now I know how this ends.
Yeah.
Speaking of how it ends, what about George Russell? T's and P's.
T's and P's are right. I mean, I was legitimately concerned for his safety and well-being.
Yeah. That's scary.
I was like, ay, 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 this is no bueno. But have you seen like the Carlos wins in Singapore, George crashes out on the last lap of Singapore.
No.
Carlos
like
wins in Australia, George crashes out on the last lap of Australia. So it's like those two cannot be
energy
at the same time at the same place. Kind of the universe says we cannot allow this. So I'm like, okay.
Maybe that's because George is actually the same person as Carlos's girlfriend. Have you seen the pictures of that?
Yes.
People are like, Carlos's girlfriend looks just like George Russell in a wig.
Which, you know, I didn't like her from the get-go, and I know why. I see too much of George in her, and I'm like,
she honestly looks like she's made with AI.
She does. She really does. Yeah.
Like, every time they flash to her, I'm like, that's an AI person in the back.
Right. Like, walking around.
I mean, she's beautiful. Like, it's just like she looks like so chiseled and so – it's fake. Like, her skin is so perfect. I mean – I wish we could all be like, oh, we look like AI created us. I say that as a compliment, but she just looks like she's computer. She looks like a sim. Like, she looks
does.
Computer generated.
Yeah, I agree. And there are times you look at George and he also looks that way, where it's like a little too flawless and a little too leaning into the right light. It's like, what are you doing? What's happening? Okay. Yeah. So the crash was bad.
The crash was so bad. So scary.
So bad. So very scary. And here's what I don't get. Because I've rewatched this several times, and I've seen the video, and I've heard the audio. I've heard Alonso's audio on this. I don't see how he gets a 20-second penalty for creating this disruption.
He slowed down, didn't he? I
think, like, if you watch the onboard and you watch, like, he's reporting that there's something wrong with the car. The crew is also reporting, I see this, I see the data. The crew tells him, slow down. He slows down. George is in his tailpipe, crashes and whatever. And he's like,
I think it's just kind of, yeah, it kind of stinks that they got the penalty, because I think it feels like it's just a kind of one of those dominoes of.
Yeah. And like, I mean, the stewards, I read this article on ESPN. It's like they took all the data that was available and they watched all the videos and all this stuff. And it was like it was out of character for how he was driving in the previous lap. So it's like, but it was almost like ever so slight. But I'm like, did they miss the whole audio with his crew being like, you need to slow down? Because like that to me was, that didn't seem like Alonso's fault. Coming from a non-Alonso apologist, like,
yeah,
you know,
it just
like,
feels like it was a one of those things where it was a series of events or they couldn't really, like, it was happening too fast.
Correct.
For anyone to make huge adjustments.
Yeah.
Just, they need to stop. George and Fernando just need to stop fighting. They're always fighting. It's like the Peaky Blinders, like, no fighting, no fighting. Like, somebody needs to walk up to both of them at the beginning of the race and be like, this isn't working out well for you two. It burned out Fernando's car, obviously.
Yes.
And George has flipped. Like, maybe you guys should have just tried to keep on keep on for one more lap. And maybe not worried about the difference of, like, however many points.
Right.
But because now they, you know, because George, now you got none. And so.
Double Merc DNF, man.
Ugh, bleak.
It's been a minute.
Well, speaking of bleak, uh-huh. I can jump straight into the news and notes because I have one.
Yeah, let's.
I have some Mercedes ones.
Oh, boy.
Well, first off, we know, like we said, the car is bleak. Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton and Toto Wolff are at odds as Ted Kravitz shines light on Mercedes Discord. Okay. What do you think that they're at odds about, Shannon?
Well, it's probably not the pumpernickel bread, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton and Toto Wolff are in disagreement over the potential of the Mercedes W15 car. That's according to Ted Kravitz, Gossip Girl, who spoke of the apparent disconnect between the Silver Arrows driver and his boss at the Australian Grand Prix. Speaking on his Ted's Notebook show on Sky Sports, the veteran pit lane reporter weighed in on Mercedes' woes. He said Toto Wolff, he still believes that this car is somehow going to get there, but clearly I don't think Lewis Hamilton believes it. I think Lewis Hamilton thinks it's cursed with the same bad handling characteristics in the rear of the car that last year's car and the car the year before it had as well. And clearly this car is still not right. Mercedes endured a wretched weekend in Melbourne. The highest point came when George Russell qualified 7th on the grid, and even that modest achievement was tempered by Hamilton only managing to go 11th fastest. So basically, Lewis keeps saying the car is shit, and Toto's like, I think we can fix the car.
Yeah. And, you know, this is also hard for me to say. Toto right now is kind of getting on my nerves. Like, he's starting to just
talk a bit
of, like, and sometimes it's like the self-deprecation that I'm like, could we just not, like, just say, admit that you got it wrong and move the fuck on. Like, there doesn't stop with all of this, like, even with Lewis.
Well, he's
like,
a little woe is me.
It is. And I'm like, I didn't come to this party, Toto, to watch you woe is me. You know, I came because you were, you know, an aggressive, assertive leader with charm and charisma. And, you know, you could give me a 1-2 punch and it was fun. Now you're just like, I don't know. We just listen to bad advice. Yeah, no shit, motherfucker. We all see the bad advice in the W15 because it's the same thing we saw in the W14. And it kind of is reminiscent of the W13.
Tell us how you really feel. Do you
feel
better?
Yeah, I do. Thank you.
Do you feel better? Yeah, I understand. I understand. I've been there. I've been there.
Yeah. You're just a little bit ahead of me in this movie, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I've worked through that pain. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we're coming out of it, you know, in the red. We're coming out of the pain.
Well, apparently, I have to get to the red in 2015 to get out of this pain. So that, or 2025, sorry.
Come into the light. Well, speaking of Toto Wolff.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go.
You can take a break from his self-deprecating comments and or his, like, woe is me bullshit because he's going to miss the Japanese GP. And a lot of people were like, oh, is he missing the GP because the car sucks? And he's like, you know, needs a weekend off from getting hounded, but he had already planned to be absent. Mercedes team principal Toto Wolff will be absent from the Japanese Grand Prix. The Silver Arrows need to score points in Suzuka on April 7th after a dismal weekend at the Australian Grand Prix. They failed to score a single point, as mentioned.
Yep.
But Wolff will not be there to lead the team in person. Instead, he will oversee their efforts remotely with communications chief Bradley Lord likely to oversee things on the ground. It was decided before the start of the new season that the Austrian will skip the trip to Japan. And so his absence is not connected to the team's woeful performance in Melbourne.
Well, so that's good to know.
Yeah. But on your note, how do you feel about keeping Toto? Because after Sunday's race, Wolff admitted it was fair to question whether he remains the right man to lead the team, given their continued absence from F1 title contention. He said, "I look at myself in the mirror every single day about everything I do. But leaving is not what I feel I should do at this moment. If you have any ideas as to who could turn this around, I would happily listen to that. The biggest difference is this is my job. And if you ask the manager a question, I cannot go to Chelsea or Liverpool or to Ferrari." Ooh, burn! So, yeah, I feel like Toto's got a big chip on his shoulder from Lewis leaving. But obviously he was going to miss Japan no matter what. But maybe he'll pick up some of his feelings and really work through them over this weekend away.
I think, you know, give him 2 weeks, you know, like give him a 2 week break and be like, all right, go. Maybe we need to bring back Angela.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to bring back Miss Cullen and be like, listen, we were giving you, and by we, not me, Toto was giving you a hard time in the, you know, having you here. But look at all the success that you were a part of when you were here. Maybe you're missing that positive energy.
The vibes. Maybe the vibes were good with Angela.
The vibes were better with Angela. And now she took her power and she took it away. And now look at you.
She cursed him.
Being a grumpy man throwing his headset around.
Yeah. Well, no headsets will be thrown by Toto Wolff this weekend in Suzuka.
Nope.
So honestly, rest assured.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I forget. The Suzuka track, is it a lot of straight line speed? Hang on. Let me look.
More of the track expert than I am. I did have a note about Charles Leclerc knowing the Ferrari could win the Australian GP from FP1, but I forgot to put the link. But just know that the boys in red are feeling this car, and I feel like the vibes are good.
The vibes are good.
Vibes are good. They fixed the vibes. Other than what the hell is Carlos going to do? And I do have a note on that.
Okay. Well, please share, because he is unemployed and currently racking up more points than, you know, employed people.
Yeah. I felt like you were about to say Charles Leclerc and I was going to have to correct you.
Oh, I did not. I said, do not bring that up, Shannon. The internal monologue said.
I could see it rolling through you. You were about to say it. And I was like, oh, don't think I haven't already checked the standings. Okay.
Nope.
Because you know that if they had flipped the positions, that Charles would have only been like 4 points or something, like out of behind Max. But they didn't, because, you know, they're kings and Carlos deserved to win. But I'm just saying
that, you know, Carlos has only raced 2 races and Charles has raced 3. But, you know, that's just math.
Okay, that's enough. You know, I love Carlos Sainz, and you've really kind of ruined the fanship for me by pitting them against each other. And I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate that.
I'm glad that you give me so much power.
Oh, fuck off. Horner couldn't rule out Sainz Red Bull F1 move. Red Bull team principal Christian Horner says he couldn't rule any possibility out on the driver market following Carlos Sainz's impressive win in Formula One's Australian GP. Still recovering from appendicitis surgery, Sainz won the Melbourne event after overtaking pole sitter Max Verstappen on lap 2 as the Dutchman hit trouble with the brakes. After Verstappen retired on lap 4, Sainz comfortably had the measure of Ferrari teammate Charles Leclerc to take his first win since last year's Singapore Grand Prix, being the only driver other than Verstappen to win a race since April last year. Blah, blah, blah. But talking about Christian Horner, but amid rumors Aston Martin's Fernando Alonso might also be in the frame, Horner has given the firmest indication yet that Red Bull is willing to look outside its own driver pool, which is a big.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry about you, Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at its stats, you're like, why would you even look at Daniel right now? I mean, I would be all eyes on Carlos, too, being like, well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
What do we got over here?
He says, I think we want to feel the best pairing that we can in Red Bull Racing. And sometimes you've got to look outside the pool as well. Horner said before referring to Sainz, you've had a very fast unemployed driver win today's race. So the market is reasonably fluid with certain drivers. So.
I don't want to see Carlos at Red Bull. I'll just say it. I don't want to see it.
Okay. But you might see it. You didn't want to see Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari, but you know, the world is a is a wild place.
Now I'm ready. I'm fully dove in. Yeah.
Okay. We were just talking before we recorded about your daughter is going to the Miami GP.
Yes.
And you know who else will be at the Miami GP is Gunther Steiner.
Yes.
And this is so confusing to me, but it was just probably an excuse to send out a press release. Former Haas chief, F1 chief Steiner to be Miami GP ambassador. Former Haas Formula One team principal Gunther Steiner, who's become an ambassador for the Miami Grand Prix. Now, this article says that he's going to be an ambassador for the Miami Grand Prix. It says absolutely nothing about what he's going to be
like,
doing.
What is his, you know, his role include? Like, what are your duties as an ambassador to the Miami?
I was combing this article to be like, so what does that mean?
Yeah.
And we have no idea.
Okay. So we have no idea what actually his role includes. Like, no idea. We just know that he's going to be there as an ambassador. And that's that.
It just is basically like he goes, I love the Miami GP. I love that F1's growing in the U.S. And that's it. That's like essentially all it says. And then the Miami GP president says, Gunther has become a household name with F1 fans of all ages and is a perfect ambassador for our race. He embodies the competitive spirit of the sport and has a clear vision of what F1 in America can be. But yeah, what this actually means is nothing. I mean, I guess he's just going to be like bopping around. I guess maybe he'll do interviews. Hopefully, you know, not with Charles Leclerc alongside. But yeah.
Some time to get better.
No clear sign of what the hell it means, but you know, you go, Gunther. Make that money.
He's got to do something. Yeah, he doesn't have like a contract anymore.
He's got all kinds of contracts. He's an F1 influencer now. Watch out, girls. Gunther's coming for your coin.
Yes. Speaking of influencers at F1 events, can we please talk about Morgan Riddle's influence?
Oh, Morgan Riddle's? Yes.
Morgs? I love Morgs.
Don't get me started on this, though, because I'm so mad.
Why?
So in case anybody doesn't know, let's get up to speed.
Okay.
Morgan Riddle is Taylor Fritz, the American tennis player's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she's also a content creator. Mm-hmm. And last year at Wimbledon, she did this, like, she also has a vlog. Like, she's doing all the content.
She does a great job.
Beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. she does a lot of, like, kind of style spotting, which I love. And she did this at Wimbledon last year. What a beautiful, amazing partnership. It was so good. And
where she talked about the outfits that she was seeing at Wimbledon. And,
yes, she was like a style correspondent on social for Wimbledon. So she was like showcasing what people were wearing. She was asking them questions. And then she was also just showcasing her own outfits, like her own style, but also like sharing on the grounds. And I really wanted her to do this for the Kentucky Derby. It was like a real big goal of mine.
Yeah.
Because it was perfect. And it didn't work out. But like, so I was big jealous when I saw that F1 basically like ran it back with her and did that partnership. And she slayed. The green dress was beautiful. Yeah.
She did an amazing job. I mean, and it's really interesting because we've been able to see both sides of this, where like we can see what people are wearing in a paddock and it's more elevated looks and it looks a little more like polished and put together.
European. Yeah.
Very much the outfits are planned.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of general admission, infield kind of stuff is more comfy. Like you're walking around more.
Oh, yeah. You're at a fair, basically.
Yeah. So you don't want to wear nice things. And we joked about it when we went to Austin. Like we kept seeing women walking around in high heels that were like in dirt tracks. And we were like, maybe this isn't the place for those shoes.
I mean, I think the days in Austin, we got like 25,000 steps or something. It's like being at Disney World, you know, like you got to wear comfy shoes and a sensible, you know, something you that know, doesn't chafe.
Sweat-wicking clothing. Like, it's not for cotton. It's, you know, you really.
Yeah, you have to make all the choices.
For the heat.
But the Paddock is making chic style moments.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was really fun to watch her put a spin on that and highlight that and just really showcase like track fashion. And I loved it. And I think they nailed it with bringing her in. I'm glad.
Oh, I think it was perfect. I also think it shows that, I mean, we obviously know that F1 knows that there's a growing female fan base. And I think it shows their like dedication on that side to saying that like a race is just like, you know, a horse, like, you know, we're in Kentucky Derby, like just like those type of things are more than just what the event is, like the whole experience, the lifestyle aspect of it. I think F1 is really embracing the lifestyle aspect of the racing, like of the sport. And I think that was kind of a show of support for that and really doubling down, I guess, on really highlighting that. And hopefully she'll do it again. I bet she does it again in maybe in Miami or maybe in Vegas, or maybe, I mean, I would love to see her do it at like Silverstone. Like if she did Wimbledon and then just did that back to back, I think it would be super, super fun.
That would be fun. Yeah. I like that idea. That's fun. And I even think.
Call me, hire me, somebody. Yeah. That's what I do.
My girl's got ideas. She's got ideas. And she can execute. Not just an idea girl. She's got execution skills too. She's amazing. But I've really seen drivers take an interest in their track fit.
Oh, like, for sure.
You know, we're seeing.
It's the Lewis Hamilton effect.
It is the Lewis Hamilton effect. You know, we've always had Lewis and Joe, but like even Lando and
Lando
Charles
is the next George. Yeah. Obviously, George and Carmen, chef's kiss.
Yeah, they always nail it. But it's not just like team monogrammed attire.
It is for Max Verstappen.
Yeah, always will be.
Just,
unless
he's like
getting
coming
paid
in the tea.
To be in a GQ shoot. He ain't giving a shit.
Max Verstappen is giving like Steve Jobs energy where he's just like, I'm going to wear this every day because I don't want to have to think about anything other than the race.
Yes. Speaking of
he's
Max.
Like, give me the clothes. I just put them over my head and pull the pants up and I walk out the door.
Did you see the picture of him and Penelope in the garage?
No, but I bet it was cute. It and was I feel really like we're all cute, softening on him.
But there's also a picture of Penelope touching his car.
Oh.
It's the same side that the brake blew out. And I was like, did she put like a Jolly Rancher or a Sour Patch Kid in the car? Like, is that what caused
she like dropped a doll or something, like one of those little like kids tchotchkes that they're always carrying around and just like fell in there?
Yeah, I was like, oh, OP, you're not supposed to touch the car.
Like Lewis gave it to her, like while he's like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. Like gives her like a little duck or something. And she drops it in there. It's a real conspiracy.
What if it was like a mini Roscoe that she...
Yeah, and she just jammed everything up in the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, stranger things have probably happened.
Kids can ruin anything with a touch of a finger.
Yeah, and like an unintentional just ruin. Yes. Mm-hmm. They will unintentionally ruin anything for you.
All the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that, you know, like also I was kind of proud of Max for not like he did not temper tantrum. He just was like the car broke.
Yeah.
Like in his interviews and anything, he didn't sound like, you know, he didn't go full Max. Mm-mm. He just kind of was like, yeah, it broke. Like if it's on fire.
At some point, it kind of makes it a little more interesting, like the next couple races to see like how much can you tighten
the gap.
Yeah. And like how soon can you tighten it? And then how fast can he get away from it?
He get away from it. Yeah. But do you think maybe he was just kind of like, yeah, I wasn't really feeling this one anyway. So like,
what does he have to lose? You know, like it's
so unbothered by it.
So unbothered.
Okay. Before we wrap up this episode, we have to talk about the absolute cutest moment of the race.
Oh.
When Carlos said, have Charles come up here so we can celebrate together. Oh, adorable.
Precious. So precious.
I honestly don't think Charles really wanted to because he was kind of butthurt and I hated that about him. Like I wanted him to be happier for Carlos. And I know he was, but he was, you know, sad for himself because he's sad Charles. But that was, I mean, peak Carlos sweetness.
Beautiful. Also, can we get the Italian national anthem more often?
I know. I was just so happy to have different national anthems.
It was amazing.
Like, but play something new.
The Tifosi was like, they were at a Max Garrett concert, just like, yes.
Yes.
And I was like, go.
Yes, it was just nice to not have like the same. We're like, oh, cue it up. Like, it was nice to hear some new songs. Play some new songs.
It was refreshing.
Yeah, it's just new faces, new friends. And also shout out to McLaren for really like doing the damn thing. We didn't really give them much love this episode. Yeah. But they're kind of, you know, because you hate them. But they're kind of doing the damn thing over at McLaren.
They're doing great. I can't get past.
There's a lot you can't get past.
The track suits. I hate their racing suits right now, and I cannot stand that stupid hat that Lando wears.
You can't. There's. I would challenge you to name three things that you like about McLaren, because I don't think that there's anything that you like about McLaren.
It's not true. I like the color papaya.
Okay, but that's just like you like a color.
I like Oscar Piastri.
Oh, okay, okay. That's an actual thing that's at McLaren.
And I prefer Lando without his facial hair. I thought he looked great.
Okay. Those are three. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You could do it. You could do it. Yeah. No, I mean, I was happy for Lando. I mean, bless his heart. Is he ever going to win a race? You know, who knows, but.
He never ride.
Yeah. And they keep bringing it up on the broadcast. They're like, well, this is race, you know, 300 and whatever. I mean, I don't think it's that many. It's like 100 something, but without a win. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I know.
Sports team. Like, you don't have to cue that one up every time he finishes in the top five. Like,
yeah, it stings every time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to rewatch it and just hear it. I'd be like, clip. You know, it's like, you know how people pull clips and like PR things. I'd be like, if they're playing it back for Lando, that they would have to mute that part out every time. Like, don't clip the part so that Lando doesn't have to hear him talking about how he hasn't won. Oh, bless him. Bless him. Well, we got another race this weekend.
No, it's next weekend.
Oh, next weekend.
Yeah.
We're off April 7th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This
I'm
weekend
like lost on days. I thought this weekend was April 7th. Like, nope. I'm just in a. Plus, okay. We have a week off.
We have a week off. Yes. We're going to be a week off. Are we recording next week?
We can record next week.
Sure? Okay. Cool. Yeah. We're going to be on spring break, you know, adulting.
But the pod never stops, just like F1 never stops. And before we go, who's your driver of the day?
Carlos.
Of course, Carlos. There's no other answer.
Mm-hmm.
And P1. Pole position.
P1, I am going to give. Yuki Tsunoda.
Oh. I'm going Yuki. Yuki Tsunoda.
You go ahead. Yuki had a good race.
Yeah, he did.
He had a good race.
He did. My driver of the day is obviously Carlos Sainz.
Yes.
Like, there's no.
He's just great.
Like, that's the only answer. Mm-hmm. My pole position. It goes to the Ferrari fans. Like, we needed this.
Mm, yes.
And, like, the fans there, the garage, the team, everyone was like, Forza Ferrari. Tifosi is my.
Love it.
Is my pole position of the week.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, this has been a delight. I'm so excited for Suzuka. I think I just was like excited thinking it was next week. I mean, this weekend, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just getting carried away.
That's okay. That's okay.
I can't wait to see Yuki in Japan content. It's my favorite time of year.
Same.
I also just love the drivers in Japan. They give top fire content in Japan. They make them do kind of silly stuff, which is so fun. Like, they make them do silly stuff wherever they go.
Yeah.
Like Valtteri, we didn't talk about this, but Valtteri in Australia was an absolute king, an icon, a legend, someone we don't deserve.
How did we miss this? Like,
that
was
Uber commercial?
The Australian GP. I'm taking my P1 back from Yuki and I'm giving it to Valtteri's commercials.
Valtteri's commercials, iconic. Like, the man is a gift that none of us deserve.
No.
Not a single person deserves. But I can't wait for that same energy like in Japan, because they make them do just like silly, goofy stuff. They take them to places and they're all like kind of fish out of water. And I kind of love that.
And the fans are the best. Like, they're so involved and they're so passionate and they're so into it. And they're just all encompassing. And I love Japanese.
And it's like all the stuff is cool. Like everything they're doing. It's like my peak F1 content too, because they're doing cool stuff. Like I want my drivers doing cool shit. I don't want them to be normal.
You know what I want them to do? I want them to go into like a Japanese 7-Eleven and try to figure out
like what the food is.
Yeah. But they're like, so advanced. Like all this stuff looks like it's coming from the future.
Oh, and it comes from like seven robots.
Yeah. Like I want them to try to get a Slurpee and be like, I don't know.
Are there Shell stations in Japan? Because if there were, probably not, but if there were, Ferrari has that partnership and they always are hitting up, you know, like a convenience, a gas station. Like that's what we would.
We do need a gas station haul from the Shell boys. Like, what are you going to get on your road
trip? Yes, what's your road trip haul? That's honestly what they should have put in that Jack Daniels video with the McLaren team. Like they needed to stop somewhere at like a Buc-ee's. Yeah. Obviously that would be brand issues, but like brand integration issues, but.
Right.
Like I need them in a that's a Texas one we need to happen, like a Buc-ee's stop in.
Oh my gosh, I just feel like Haas and Buc-ee's, like that's the partnership.
That's the partnership we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or we need Valtteri and Buc-ee's, because can you imagine him in one of those like Buc-ee's bathing suits?
This is it. We've gotten here.
Him in like he's definitely like peak Buc-ee's material.
100%. I mean, he could be taking a shower in one of the showers.
In a Buc-ee's, yes.
Mosquito.
He just does some light shopping through. Yeah. He's like probably gets a beer, like has a sandwich, like a brisket sandwich, like get some treats.
That is, I see it. I can see the whole thing. This is amazing.
Yeah. But I can't wait. Like, and Lewis always does some really epic Japan content.
Yeah. He loves Japan. Like his Japanese merch drops are.
Yeah, he loves it there.
Fire. Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be good content. It's almost like a little break. Like, I can't wait for them to bop over there and just have fun in the streets of Japan. Because honestly, it gives some of the best Friday content, too. They do silly stuff. They're out there having fun. They're like, you know, it's like all anime and like, you know, it's just exciting.
I love it. I can't wait. I've just got a new burst of energy for
joy.
Japan.
That's what I'm here for, you know. If you want to give us a big giant burst of joy, you will follow us over on Instagram and TikTok at F1 Push Push. You can also rate and review the podcast on wherever you listen to them. We would love it if you'd also review it on YouTube or subscribe to us there, but truly would make us happier than F1 drivers just bopping around the streets of Japan, if you would rate and review. And until next time, push, push.